welcome to the Business Cornwall podcast series. Here, we not only get to know more about some of the amazing businesses in the Duchy, but also the story of the incredible business people here and what's been the key to their success. Okay, so welcome to the first ever Business Cornwall podcast series. I'm actually going to call it the inaugural one because I love the word inaugural and I just realised I missed the opportunity to use that word. And it's in my top three favourite words. So the podcast series is going to be all about getting to know business people in Cornwall. It's going to be about getting to know the businesses, but also the business people themselves. And this is the first one. And we have Melissa Thorpe from Spaceport Cornwall, and we're going to be finding out a little bit about Spaceport Cornwall and about how Melissa ended up in the space sector. So hi Melissa, how are you doing?
Hey, thanks so much. Yeah, great. I don't like the word inaugural because I can't say it very well. Maybe it's the accent, I don't know, but it actually makes my mouth feel weird.
Yeah. No, it's a good word. It's in my top three. But you've been on Country Files, so you're a big TV star now. So how was that?
It was a very interesting experience, definitely. We were slightly primed for different questions than we actually had, but I always love a challenging question. So in the end, it was great. And I think some interesting topics have come out of it, and I've had some great conversations this week on the back of it as well. So all in all, it was good.
But so now, if we get straight into it, Spaceport Cornwall, it sounds a bit mad, doesn't it, here in Cornwall, where so many people have the perceptions of pasties and Poldark, and we've got our own very own spaceport down here. Can you just tell us all a bit about how it came about? Why has Cornwall got its own spaceport now? How did it come about?
Yeah, it's a bit of a tale. I'll save some of it because it's been quite a roller coaster. It was actually started back in 2014 when we were shortlisted as a potential site in the UK for launch. The UK builds a large majority of the world's small satellites, but we have no launch capability. So they wanted to capture some of that marketplace. And so they picked a few sites around the UK that they thought would be capable of launching satellites from. And Cornwall Airport Newquay was one of those sites. So we were shortlisted, and then fast forward 7 years, we're on, you know, a year away from our first launch ever. So it's been quite a journey. Initially when it started, like you said, people laughed at it. And now as we're actually on site building things, creating jobs into schools, it's become a real thing. So it's gone from being a bit ethereal to actually happening now and realistic. And I think suddenly the excitement's picking up because people realize it's happening.
Yeah, no, that's crazy. I mean, I remember when I first started at Business Cornwall, and it sort of came up, and it was almost felt like a bit of a pipe dream. You never thought it would actually happen. So it's great that it is. And so what stage are we at with it? What are the ambitions for Spaceport Cornwall?
So we're at a really exciting stage now. We've kind of, the last 7 years has been about raising the investment and the funding we needed, getting political support, securing our partners at Virgin Orbit. It's been a lot of the kind of legwork, and now we're moving really into delivery. So we've set the foundations and we're ready to deliver launch. And like I said, we're a year away now. So it's really an exciting time. It's full on. There's a lot happening. We're up building on site new facilities and just getting the regulations in place so we can safely launch, working with our partners at Virgin and Goonhilly. It's all starting to come to fruition. So we're at a really exciting stage now of the project. And I still sometimes have to pinch myself that it is happening, but it is happening.
Yeah. And actually, on the topic of launch, I think it's probably something we should cover. When you think of launching rockets into space, you think of vertical launch and big flames and, you know, a load of drama and stuff. Whereas in actual fact, this is horizontal launch from what's essentially a modified Boeing 747. Am I right? Which is very different to what a lot of people might expect when you say spaceport and launching stuff. And when you find out it's actually just a modified Boeing 747. That is what it is, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. So its horizontal launch is, it's not necessarily a new way of launching, but it's definitely up and coming in the sense that lots of launch companies are starting to look at it because what it uses is it is a runway. You could use an airport with a long enough runway to launch usually a modified aircraft that will take a rocket to a certain height and deploy the rocket midair. So it's also known as air launch. So it's almost taking the rocket partway up to space already before it launches. And in that is good and bad because, like you said, it's not a vertical lift, really exciting, launch. But what it is using existing facilities, existing assets to create launch capability for nowhere near what it would cost to create a vertical launch site and have way less impact than a vertical launch takeoff would have. So it There's pluses and minuses to both, but I think for Cornwall, we will only ever do horizontal launch, and it suits our airport so well, and Virgin suit the airport so well. So it's a perfect fit for us down here in Cornwall.
So, in terms of sending satellites up into space, is it just Virgin Orbit you're working with?
At the moment, yes. So we kind of consider them our anchor tenant at the spaceport. They'll be the first ones we go through the regulation process with the government to get a spaceport license and an operator license, and our first launch next year is with them. But we have other launch partners that we'll be looking to announce over the coming kind of months and in the next year. And that's what we want. We want a sustainable spaceport that isn't just solely putting all our eggs in one basket. We want, lots of activities happening up there. And the really exciting thing about all of this is all just going to be integrated into an active civilian airport. So it's we're not stopping anything else happening at the airport. We're just integrating space launch into general aviation activities at the airport. And so it'll just create this kind of hustle and bustle of activity between aerospace and aviation and space.
Sure. And with Virgin Orbit, how did that come about? Did they contact you? How did it all come about?
It's like a dating site. when we were first shortlisted, what the government didn't want was build it, they will come. They wanted us to go out to industry, find a partner, and then come back to them. So we went out and said who might be interested in coming along to Spaceport Cornwall. And Virgin Orbit, were one of those people because they wanted to access the satellite businesses in Europe and in the UK. So they definitely, I don't remember who spoke to who first, who DM'd who first, but we definitely came together quite quickly and we realized that there was huge potential here. Richard Branson, who obviously owns Virgin Orbit, holidayed down in Cornwall as a child. He knew Cornwall very well, and I think there is something to be said. As much as the technology and the capability of the airport are one thing, the actual fit with the Virgin brand was really important to Virgin as well. That Cornwall kind of has similar, look and feel to what they like to see as part of their brand too.
Sure. So have you actually met Sir Richard Branson through all of this?
I met him once. When was it? In 2018? Yes. Yeah.
And so what sort of satellites are you looking to send up into space and for what purpose?
So lots of different things. Virgin, sorry, are a small satellite launcher. So it's CubeSats up to the kind of size of a fridge freezer on each launch. So these are our smaller satellites and spacecraft. And they will do anything from Earth observation, communications, GPS, environmental intelligence. The kind of role of satellites is, and the purpose of satellites these days and are endless. There's so many different technologies out there, and that's the whole reason that commercial launch is becoming such a big thing, is because the hunger of that humans have for satellite data and technology is just increasing every single day, that we need more satellites to get into space. So Virgin launched for the first time in January, and on board that was 10 NASA scientific satellites that were designed by students actually to go up and all about, providing data on the Earth and informing environmental policies and societal policies. So it the opportunity there for what we launch is really interesting because it will be Virgin that operate and launch their customers, but we'll be providing the facility. So, we want to be streamlined in the role of a spaceport as a gateway to space and what we're actually putting up into space and be slightly responsible for that as well.
Sure. So it has a real point to it there. And it's not like, I think some people see a spaceport as, because of the whole like Elon Musk stuff with his big ambitions of like terraforming Mars and all the rest of it, it's got these ideas in people's heads about a spaceport being a place for very wealthy people to go up and have an experience of space, and whereas that's like nothing to do with what you're doing. But do you think it could ever evolve into something like that from Nuki?
Into space tourism? Yeah, we're not looking at that at the minute. We're only looking at satellite launch. I've been saying this, but satellite launch is hard enough before we even think about putting humans. The industry in human spaceflight is developing, but it's developing currently over in the US mainly. The regulations will have to kind of catch up over here in the UK, and I think that will take a while for human spaceflight. And I think people don't realize that actually, I think space tourism gets all the headlines, and as exciting as the thought of going up to space is, and, you know, I always say, and every astronaut that's ever come back down from seeing Earth from above has said they turn into an environmentalist. So the opportunity of sending high net worth individuals who have a lot of power in this world to send them up to see the curvature of the Earth, is that really such a bad thing? I'm not, you know, that could potentially change their outlook. But human spaceflight, there's so many amazing opportunities with microgravity, medical research, that could just change the way other industries operate. So it's not just about human space or space tourism, about human spaceflight as well. And putting more humans into space will allow us to help solve some of the world's issues down here. So I think there's probably slightly an outdated perception on what human spaceflight actually is, and tourism is just a tiny part of that.
Sure. And sort of going back a bit here, so you were talking about the assets that we already had. So one of the reasons that Nuki was seen as very suitable is because it had this very long runway. Yeah, which was suitable to the horizontal launch. Is that one of the other reasons why we ended up getting the spaceport in Cornwall, because of its sort of suitability in that sense?
Yeah, so they did an original kind of desktop-based exercise of identifying these locations through the UK, some vertical launch sites, some horizontal ones, and one of the criteria was a long runway, direct access over the sea, low residential buildup, you know, kind of uncongested airspace. So there are several criteria, and Nuki hit every single one of those. We do have one of the longer runways in the UK, and we're obviously really capable of handling a 747. So there's not much we actually have to do to the airport to get it ready for launch, because of the existing asset that it already is and the infrastructure that's already there. And that's why we can create a launch for such a cheap cost.
Sure. Am I right in saying that the Virgin Orbit plane is called Cosmic Girl? Is that right?
Yeah, so that was the actual name of the 747 when she was an airliner with Virgin Atlantic. Okay. So she used to fly for Virgin Atlantic and was modified to carry this rocket and stripped out inside. And so that was her name, and that has stayed her name. So the name of the aircraft is Cosmic Girl, and the name of the rocket is called Launcher One.
Sure. And so Cosmic Girl will go up to the standard sort of, what, like 37,000 feet or whatever, and then Launcher One will then take it from there.
Exactly. So Launcher One will then drop and go in up to lower Earth orbit.
Yeah. And like most satellites, once they're sort of done, they're done up there, they just carry on orbiting around space. Is that right?
I mean, that's changing. That's how it definitely was in the past. There wasn't really there wasn't any responsibility put on the company to put any sort of deorbiting policy into their spacecraft. So as most people are aware now, there's a lot of issue with space debris and space junk that's all up there. But I think what you're seeing now, because of policies, the public interest in it, you're starting to see companies take a bit more responsibility for their products in space. So you're starting to see deorbiting technology put into satellites. You're also starting to see in-orbit servicing of satellites as well. So almost a mechanic truck up there that's actually fixing broken satellites that don't necessarily have to be brought back down, but can still operate. They just might need a piece of equipment that needs to be fixed on it. So yes and no. Hopefully it's becoming a bit different than it was in the past.
Sure, sure. And on this sort of similar sort of note of the environmental impact of it, because I remember a couple of years ago or whenever it was when you were going for that the funding, that there was quite a lot of opposition on the basis of the environmental impact of it for Cornwall. But I'm assuming that your argument would be that the gain from sending these satellites up, being able to monitor climate change, all these other things, which we sort of touched on earlier, outweigh the short-term environmental impact of sending these satellites up into space.
Yeah, that was a very interesting time in the project going through that process, because the council had just declared a climate emergency and then went on to invest in a spaceport. And I think a lot of people just didn't understand how they could do both. But I think there's a lot of misinformation out there of what exactly our launch was. Like you said at the beginning, we're not a heavy lift vertical launch rocket going straight up. It's an aircraft with a rocket on it. Yes, we have an impact, and we're open and transparent about what that impact could potentially be, which is on our website. So we're looking at the height of activity. So that's about 8 launches a year, which will take us several years to get to. We're looking at about 0.1% increase in carbon emissions in Cornwall from our activities. Now, that's a small impact, but it's still an impact. And I think as a team going through that process, when we were having really tricky conversations with local environmentalists, you know, we take this fairly seriously, and it's part of our objective is to be the most sustainable launch location in the world. And I know people might think that's a weird thing to say, and how do you back that up? Well, at the minute, satellites are being launched all over the world. Satellites are being shipped all over the world to launch. By bringing launch closer to those satellites, we save, you know, emissions on shipping them in the first place. But a lot of those foreign launch locations, you cannot find anything out about how they launch, the impact of that launch. So the transparency just isn't there. We want to lead. We want to be open and transparent about our launches, the impact of that launch, and then what are we going to do about it? So our sustainability report is going to be released for G7. And in that will be a plan of how we not only mitigate and offset against that impact, but how we decrease that impact, and how we, our project is going to work on R&D around the technology, looking at biofuels, reusability of rockets in the future. So we you know, really want to back up this claim of being the most sustainable launch location in the world with action, and be held accountable to it, so that we will update a report every year, that we will have a steering group solely focused on our environmental impact. And yes, satellites are doing incredible things. We know that, and there is a balance that we need to strike between the impact of what they're of the launch themselves and then what they're going on to do. But we think by making launch more responsible, they can go on and do these incredible things, but we don't have to have the same kind of, you know, downside of the launch itself. So we're trying to just kind of fit that final piece of the puzzle in place. I don't think any other spaceports are really recognizing that so far that we've come across. And we think Cornwall's in a position to really go out and start to challenge the rest of industry to do the same.
Sure, sure. And I mean, that's amazing. The fact that you're going, you have these ambitions to be a super environmentally friendly spaceport is great. And that would absolutely make commercial sense too, because we've already got this niche in Cornwall in that we can encourage inward investment through the beautiful landscapes we've got down here. But we've also, if you've got that other string to your bow, that's another reason for a sort of associated business to maybe move down here. And actually, this brings me on very well to the next points I wanted to talk to you about, which is what does this mean for Cornwall and the future of Cornwall, and encouraging businesses. It's not just Spaceport Cornwall. I'm guessing what you're trying to do is create a bit of a space cluster down here. So yeah. There may be engineering technology businesses which have some sort of affiliation with the space sector who may bring those businesses down to Cornwall, create new jobs and decent skilled, well-paid jobs for Cornwall. Is that right? Is that an ambition?
Yeah, 100%. And I think the launch, of course, is exciting, but I think where the real value is going to come is that cluster. And when we were going through the council process and we were going through the environmental questions, there's a climate wheel that the council used to make decisions. And we were looking at the number of jobs that would be created from Spaceport Cornwall and the opportunity to, you know, really create that skills base here in Cornwall as a massive benefit of this project. So we are creating 150 jobs and that we are doing that now. We're recruiting, we're, you know, creating jobs at the minute. And those jobs will be, you know, across everything. It's not just about being an astrophysicist anymore, a rocket engineer, although that's great. We need those too. But it's everything from aircraft maintenance to, you know, marketing to spacecraft operations to data monitoring. You know, there's so many different jobs that are going to be involved with this. But really for us, I think where the value, and when I say us, Cornwall, is the value is going to come from using Spaceport as a catalyst and a magnet to attract investment and business into the county. And we are seeing that already. We've had several companies relocate to the airport from outside of Cornwall and outside of the UK because of Spaceport and then their involvement with it. We're also developing facilities up on site. We don't need to develop them just for Virgin, but we want to develop them to create a sustainable business model that will have SMEs, academia, other multinationals using the facilities, collaborating together on R&D that's around satellite integration and launch. And it'll be the only place anywhere in the country that this is happening at a spaceport. So we really are just trying to use the spaceport to attract that kind of cluster to Cornwall and spreading that between us, Goonhilly, and other places around the county as well. So it's really just galvanizing, you know, the opportunity that Spaceport and Launch brings and create kind of wider, more sustainable business opportunities than just Virgin. So it's really exciting, I think, the opportunities there. And that's something that we're really going to see start to unfold early next year is upon site, you'll start to see more and more businesses locate.
Sure. And I completely agree with that. It's my opinion. I mean, I'm born and bred in Cornwall. And not that long ago, there was a real stigma about Cornwall. Like, if you didn't move up to London or whatever, you don't have a good career for you down here in Cornwall. Whereas perceptions are changing. It's not now just seen. I sort of joked at the start of this about it being about Poldark and pasties. And that was a strong perception of Cornwall, and to some degree it still is. But I think the important thing is it is definitely changing now, and it's programmes like Spaceport Cornwall and this now sort of like vibrant health tech sector and the creative tech, all this sort of stuff that's changing the perception for Cornwall. They're key case studies in changing that perception for the future, and we're being taken more seriously now, I think, as a result.
Yeah. Definitely. And we know of companies that don't have anything to do with space, but there might be a tech company in Cornwall and they need on their job specs they're putting out. They're actually mentioning Spaceport Cornwall in it, in their job descriptions that they're posting. So it's quite funny to see other. It's not funny. It's actually brilliant. And that we love it that, you know, other businesses in Cornwall are using Spaceport as a way to try and attract, you know, skilled individuals into the county to work for them.
Sure. And also, you mentioned Goonhilly very briefly. Does your program, does it tie in with Goonhilly at all in any way? Is there synergy there?
Yeah, definitely. So they're one of our consortium partners, actually. So the consortium is really Cornwall Council, Virgin Orbit and Goonhilly. So Goonhilly are going to be our mission management tracking partner. And we'll have them up on site for the launch. But also, again, we'll drive a lot of the activity down to Goonhilly itself. You know, been a huge mentor to me and really taken me and the team under their wing. And, you know, Ian and Pieran and Matt are basically kind of space rock stars in the space industry. Everybody knows them and they've introduced us to amazing individuals. So, yeah, they're a huge part of our team. And we are really one big kind of space family in Cornwall. And it's all about promoting Cornwall in the space industry together.
OK, well, that's great. I think you've summed up exactly what Spaceport Cornwall is and does. We've covered some of the misconceptions in that there's not going to be huge vertical launches setting Nuki alight as it goes up. You've only got 8 horizontal launches a year planned. The satellites have all these great purposes, and it has this wider effect in terms of perception for Cornwall as well, and encouraging inward investment and securing Cornwall's future. So that's all great. So now I just wanted to talk to you personally about how you ended up in the space sector. And you're from Canada originally, and I just keen to understand how you ended up in Cornwall and in the space sector.
Yeah, another long story. I will save you all that. But no, I grew up, yes, definitely in the middle of nowhere, really, in Canada. So in British Columbia, in a very small town. My parents, my mum was a park ranger. My dad flew water bombers to fight forest fires. So I really grew up with this kind of notion that, you know, technologies like airplanes could actually be used and adapted for good. And I don't think I realized that until now, but that definitely set a seed in me about, you know, the technology being used in different ways to help the environment. So yeah, I grew up and I did a degree in economics, but I focused on aviation and aerospace. I absolutely love airplanes. I wanted to be a pilot, but I didn't have very good eyesight. And I ended up, my dream school was the London School of Economics. So I moved over to study my master's. Again, I focused on aerospace clusters. So I've compared Boeing and Airbus, looking at the differences that they could create with their clusters in local communities and rural places around the world. Because my passion is about, you know, rural development and looking at rural areas, because that's where I came from. My grandmother was from the UK, and actually she used to tell me about this magical place called Cornwall that she used to go on holiday. And so when I was living in London, I had come down here and absolutely loved it. So when I finished my studies, I came down, I gave myself a few months to try and find a job, and I did. So that's kind of my first call, was really working with the airport. I was brought in to look at how to attract different types of businesses to the airport that weren't just for the passenger side of the airport. So I was working with unmanned aerial systems at the time, and search and rescue with Bristow's, and bringing them in, and maintenance, repair and overhaul companies and stuff, all based around the airport. So about developing kind of other revenue streams for the council at the airport. So that's where I was brought in. And then the kind of the rest is history. UK Space Agency came knocking in 2014, and I was pulled over onto the spaceport project from there. So my background isn't necessarily space. It's more aerospace and aviation. So I've had to learn a lot in the last 7 years about the industry. I'm not a space geek at all. But what I do love about space is how we can use it to help Earth at the end of the day. So going back to where I started, you know, using technology to help benefit Earth.
Sure. Sure. Now, I think we're very lucky to have you here in Cornwall pioneering all these wonderful things. That's great. So still talking about Cornwall, I think we've covered everything now. I just wanted to ask you a few sort of like quick fire questions.
Okay.
About Cornwall and why you like it. And so what's your favourite beach down here?
Oh, it's such a tough one. There's so many. But I think I fell in love with Porthcurnic a few years ago when I first had my daughter and my dogs. It was an easy beach that we could all have fun on. But we've just gotten into surfing this last since lockdown, and we love going down to Senin as well. So kind of between the north coast and the south coast, I guess.
Yeah, great. And where do you see Cornwall being in the next, say, 5 to 10 years? Do you see any big changes coming?
Like, yeah.
What do you see?
I think from G7, I think the excitement around that, you know, changing perceptions of Cornwall, I really think there's going to be a legacy from that, whether that's Spaceport or Cornish Lithium or offshore wind, whatever that might be, Goonhilly. There's so many things that are bubbling away and I think are about to really go and take off, no pun intended. And I also think the interesting thing after the pandemic, all the people moving, wanting to live down in Cornwall and the potential skilled labour that we'll get from that. So I think we're creating a bit of a perfect storm of some really exciting new innovative technologies in Cornwall with the right skill set that might be here. Plus, that what's always here in Cornwall that I love is community and that creative kind of underscore, you know, of talent and artists here. And I think that combination is going to be incredible.
Yeah. Okay, great. Well, listen, thank you so much. You've explained everything. Hopefully people now have a better understanding overview of what Spaceport Cornwall does and a little bit about you as well. So yeah, we're grateful to have you here in Cornwall, and hopefully you're here to stay.
Definitely.
Yeah, good. Well, it's been great to catch up with you. And we'll catch up again soon. Thank you for listening to our first ever podcast, and I really do hope you found it interesting. Next week, I'll be catching up with Kelvin Batt, founder of the Masked Bull, the Muscle Shoal Restaurant, and all-round Porthleven fanatic.